Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to The Froth, a place to let your brain slip into something more comfortable, a spa break for the mind. Are you sitting frothily? Then we'll begin.
I'm comedian husband Rod Gilbert.
I'm comedy writer wife Sian Harris.
That's Rosie, a dog. And this is...
The Froth.
This week's podcast was recorded in our basement in London. Our special guest is Lloyd Langford, who joined us remotely from Melbourne, and Barry is producing.
Be warned, there is some occasional fruity language and content. The headlines this week.
I have never seen that dress you're wearing, or the highlights in your hair that catch your eyes. I have been blind. Lady in a lucky dress you bought off the internet. I want to shag you, it's something about that dress. Was it someone's lucky dress? They had loads of sex in and their mates.
Woman sells her lucky dress on the internet, and let's just say whoever buys it might need to give it a rinse.
Or a spray.
Special guest Lloyd Langford gets mistaken for a sandwich. Kopeck. Kopeck, Kopeck, to where you once belonged. Kopeck, Russian man finds a Kopeck, which is a coin, stuck up his nose for 53 years. How much jam is in that fucking donut? That one that is mainly just jam. Rod and Sian buy a donut that contains a full litre of jam. I really can't stay. Baby, it's cold outside. I gotta go away. Baby, it's cold outside. Oh, fuck off. 4-month-old baby tells mum to F off. And those are the headlines. No social media this week, but normal service will be resumed very, very soon. But straight on this week to this week's special guest. I've mentioned his name already. It is the one and only Mr. Lloyd Langford in Australia. Where are you, Lloyd? What's happening?
Oh, we had a lovely time in Sydney.
So you're out of lockdown?
Yeah, pretty much.
In Australia, lockdown has eased up. You're gigging?
Yeah, I did a gig last night, actually, and in the first 20 seconds, I had to help an audience member stop their tea light from setting the table on fire.
God, that sounds like a rough gig if they've got tea lights on the table, man. Bloody hell, that sounds like a bear pit.
But they had a real powerful flame going on the tea light, and I said, oh, you might want to try and put that out, and then she blew on it. Just giving him more oxygen. And then they're firing
up
big
blasts. To be fair, that is how we blow out candles.
Yeah, to be fair, that is an age-old, tried-and-tested method of putting out a candle, blowing on it, Lloyd.
Yeah.
Yeah, putting out a candle, but you don't see firefighters outside a burning building all huffing and puffing.
True, but what do you expect her to do? Dive on it?
Take out a hose?
Well, I said to her, get a plate and put it on top of the fire and it'll starve it of oxygen.
Oh, yeah. By the time she got back from the kitchen, the whole place is burnt down.
Where's she going to get a plate? The big dresser.
She had a plate on a table.
Oh, did she?
All right.
Didn't you play the Opera House, did I see the other day? Sydney Opera House?
Yeah, I was at the Opera House, mate.
Well, you were at the opera house, or you played the opera house. It's a big difference.
Were you on the stage? Were you performing?
Yeah, I was for 10 minutes.
You and Tim Rice?
Me and Placido Domingo.
Yeah.
And
Michael Crawford. Then
this, Michael, yeah, he was there as well. Actually, he was still under the bowels of the theatre. This woman sort of grabbed me very forcefully by the forearm.
What?
Right.
And she goes, I know who you are.
Who was it, Lloyd?
I don't know who she was, but she didn't know who I was. She thought I was a very famous Australian rules football player. And
so she grabbed you by the arm.
I guess I've got that kind of face.
And what did you say, Lloyd?
She said, I know who you are. And then she said, you're Sam Bridges. And I was like, no. And then she kept shouting, Sam Bridges, Sam Bridges. I've got Sam Bridges. But my friend
sounds
in the
like
distance
I've got
thought
sandwiches.
She was actually shouting out sandwiches.
This is one of the most confusing scenes. So you're in Sydney Opera House, a woman you've never met grabs you forcefully by the arm, shouts, I know who you are, then proceeds to not know who you are, but be very confident that you're Sam Bridges. Your friend comes over, thinks she's shouting, I've got sandwiches. Where does the story go next, Lloyd?
We ran away. We ran away from the woman.
Most people, when they perform at the Sydney Opera House, think that it's memorable for other reasons. Do you know what I mean? That's your anecdote. Love.
What happened then?
We were leaving, and then we forcefully left, and she was in the distance saying to her friends, that's Sam Bridges, I found Sam Bridges.
Can I just ask, had she already seen the gig?
I think she was just, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I think she was an alcoholic that was in the bar.
Right, okay.
a classy Googled, alcoholic, though. She's going to the Sydney Opera House to go and drink.
Yeah.
I Googled Sam Bridges, and the only thing we have in common is that we're both ugly men.
Lloyd, don't put yourself down. Lloyd.
Well, I haven't got the physique of a Aussie rules football player.
Lloyd, you can't say that he's ugly.
Lloyd,
you're
taking
him.
A swig of lager.
Not in the flesh.
Lloyd just said that and took a swig of lager. I keep forgetting that it's night time there, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It's like 10:40 here.
It's 11:30 in the morning here, Lloyd. You can't just go swigging lager on a Zoom call. After talking about an alcoholic in Sydney Opera House.
You could just pretend it's Beck's Blue.
Right then, we got our frothy stories as usual, Lloyd. Are you ready to hear some froth?
Yeah.
We've got three frothy stories for you, Lloyd. Sean this week, Barry produced it, of course. We've got three frothy stories. Here we go. Special guest Lloyd Langford, Sean in the co-host chair here. Here's frothy story number one. Coin removed from man's nose after being stuck for more than 50 years. Frothy story number two. Woman's lucky dress listing labelled trashy for her X-rated description. Quite a mouthful, that. Quite a lot to take in there.
There's loads to take in there.
Quite a lot to take in there. Basically, she's put a dress up for sale, and the way she's advertised it, people think it's a bit trashy.
Okay.
I'll come on to it. And mum, this is simpler, mum gobsmacked at four-month-old baby's first words. Which one of those do you want first?
The coin.
Which one sounds the frothiest?
The frothiest. The dress?
The dress sounds frothy.
The dress sounds frothy. Okay, well, should we start with that one?
And filthiest.
I'll start with that one. A woman who was selling a dress that she wore for her 18th birthday has been called out online as she revealed a few too many X-rated details about the dress.
Oh.
Yeah. She's been labelled trashy.
I hope she washed it.
Yeah, that's what
well,
I was thinking.
She's been labelled trashy by the internet, by all these sites like Reddit and Debop, and you'll be very familiar with these sites, Lloyd, I'm sure.
Debop?
Yeah.
He was one of Shredder's henchmen in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Right.
It's
not that.
I had a little toy.
It's not that. That is apparently an internet site, I think, where you can sell things or talk about things or do things. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
Reddit, you can give opinions and advice to people.
Right, okay. Well, the opinions and advice you got back were not complimentary.
Right.
A lot of the opinions were pretty bad. And the advice is questionable. The anonymous woman who purchased... Oh, I thought it said a red crotchless dress then. I was like, what?
Does a dress have a crotch?
It's a crochet.
All dresses are crotchless.
Once you've finished with them, eh, Lloyd?
too comfortable no, saying
that's
that.
That's the architecture of a dress.
Architecture.
Oh, right, sorry, I thought you meant after you've after you finished
studying
with them.
For 7 years in university to make a dress.
The anonymous woman.
If it's got a crotch in it, it's a trouser pants.
A pantsuit, like Hillary Clinton wears.
Sorry, pantsuit.
Good advice there for Christmas from Lloyd Langford.
If it's got a crotch in it.
That's Lloyd's. If it's got a crotch in it, it's a pantsuit. That's Lloyd's catchphrase.
Oh my God, that's going on the website.
that's going on the old, in a quote, lozenge on the Froth Twitter feed. So the woman has shared the details about a dress that she's selling, and she's been labelled trashy. In inverted commas, the anonymous woman who purchased not a crotchless dress, but a red crochet-style dress. That's what I misread.
Right.
The anonymous woman purchased a red crochet-style dress for her 18th birthday and advertised it on the buying and selling app, Debop. She advertised it for £55, €75, plus €5 shipping. Okay, so far? Shoppers were taken aback when they read the product description that outlined some very explicit details about the dress. She claims she got lucky in it.
Oh.
It read, this is the advert.
Oh, like at the amusement arcade.
Well, it could be, Lloyd. We'll read.
On the penny,
her
penny waterfall.
She passed a driving test in it.
It could be a driving test. It could be that she got lucky on the tuppenny nudger.
Yeah, or she found a penny.
We'll see. It could be that she found a four-leaf clover while relaxing in a field somewhere on the Emerald Isle.
In a skin-tight red crochet.
It's not skin-tight, you made that up.
You can't have a baggy crochet.
It's not crotchless, it's a red crochet style dress.
You can't have a baggy crochet.
How do you have a crochet dress?
It's like crocheted.
It's like wool.
No, like kind of, it looks a bit lacy.
Lacy, yeah. Okay.
It's full of holes, right?
Yeah.
Like chainmail.
Yeah. It's like lighter chainmail, isn't it? Lighter wearable chainmail for the modern girl.
Which is lucky, right? Right.
It will not withstand any attacks by crossbow.
No.
Or jousts.
Otherwise, identical to chainmail.
Yeah. Do not joust. So it says on the care label. Warm hand wash, 40 degrees. Do not joust.
Do not tumble dry.
Do not joust.
Okay, go on.
Right. She said, this is the advert. She says, selling my birthday dress. Only worn once for a couple of hours.
Oh.
Oh, she did get lucky.
I would consider this a lucky dress, as me and all my friends who have worn it have got fucked in it.
Oh, my God.
Willing to include earrings. Oh, it also adds in brackets, it was dry cleaned as I got sick on it.
Oh, God.
And you can click there, buy €75 plus €5 shipping.
What are the earrings like?
It doesn't say.
It doesn't say
I'll
at
read
all.
On. Read on.
Hang on. So how come it's her dress, she wears it for her 18th birthday for a couple of hours,
yeah,
right?
Weird.
So she gets lucky, presumably, and has to take the dress off. But then she passes it on to a friend who also then gets fucked in it. So it's sort of like a curse. Everyone who wears the dress gets fucked in it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. It's like a fairy tale, really, isn't it? Like, what's the fairy tale reminding me of? I can't recall it now. Which is it's like
this red shoes?
No, it's a bit like the Aladdin or something, isn't it?
Aladdin?
Whoever's got the lamp.
What?
I you must have seen a special director's cut of Aladdin.
But Aladdin, whoever's got the lamp, gets the genie and the wishes, and then he goes.
Oh, yeah.
Whoever touches the magic carpet gets wanked off.
Well, what is it that I'm thinking of then? If it's not Aladdin, what is it? It's really reminding me of something where somebody's.
The red shoes
the red
is when
shoes.
She puts
said
the shoes
the
on
red
and
shoes.
Can't.
The red shoes.
Like
go on,
four
what?
Yeah, hours ago. You're deaf.
I'm deaf. What is it? What's the red shoes?
The red shoes. It's when you put them on, you can't stop dancing.
Why is that a good thing? You can't
it's
stop
not
dancing.
A good thing. It's
exhausting.
Not a good thing.
Not Joe Wicks.
It ends in tears.
It's one of those things that they think is going to be a good thing,
yes,
like this red dress.
Exactly. You think it's
going to
be good.
Put it on and you guarantee.
But you end up getting off with someone you don't want to.
Okay.
Yeah, if you were trying to sell me a dress and there are two things guaranteed about it, one is that if I put it on, I'm going to get fucked, and two, that you've already thrown up on it. €75 plus €5 shipping.
Three, Lloyd, you get the earrings if you want.
Don't forget the free earrings.
The free earrings, which we don't know what they look like.
Yeah, but what potential dangers do the earrings hold?
What do they
add? I don't think they've got any
away.
Magic powers, the earrings.
They're just studs. Just normal studs.
Just normal clip-ons. It's like your granddad.
It can't be good if she's willing to throw them in.
Her listing has been shared on Reddit, where it has been labelled trashy.
It's not trashy.
It's not?
No.
No.
No, it's functional, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think if you're buying second-hand clothes, they're obviously things that the previous occupant might have got up to, but you don't need to be explicitly told what they are.
If you were selling a pair of trousers, Lloyd, and you had been wanked off in them at some point in the past, would you put that on the advert? In the exchange and mark?
As a selling point?
You know when you're selling your underpants on the exchange and mark, right?
I mean, if I was in the business of selling soiled underwear to people interested in
that
kind of thing,
Lloyd, one day.
Yes.
Oh, yes, yeah. But if you're just selling, it's not that. Right, you're not on a...
If I'm selling a pair of common or garden corduroy trousers, yeah. I'm not going to put on a listing, oh, by the way, I shipped myself in these ones.
That wouldn't be a bonus,
No,
though,
but that wouldn't be a lucky thing.
That
wouldn't
be a lucky bonus. If you said something like, oh, I don't know, I found some change in these pockets once.
Let's say, Lloyd, you've got a pair of your corduroy trousers, right? And you're selling that, you're back in Port Talbot, but you've put them in the... What is it, the Bugle? Port Talbot Bugle? What are we looking at? Is it the Port Talbot Beacon? What?
It was the Port Talbot Courier, but the pages were mainly filled up with news of who'd been in court.
So you've put them, you're putting your trousers in the Port Talbot Courier, and you have got, and you've been got lucky in them in the past. You've been down Champers in Swansea, or wherever it was, and you've got lucky in them. Would you put that on there?
I mean, now you've brought it up, yeah, I probably would.
Can you imagine? You flicking through that, going, oh, he's in court, he's in court. Oh, Lloyd's selling some trousers.
He got wanked off down an alley outside Champers in Swansea in these.
Fair play to him.
£75.
It's nice to read a bit of good news for a change. Oh, my God.
And he played Sydney Opera House in these. It says, the majority of users on the social media site were either unimpressed or were confused as to why she decided to sell the dress and reveal all the explicit goings-on that occurred whilst wearing it.
It's weird that she gave it to her friends and they all did. That's the detail that's weird.
Well, a lot of people have picked her up on that. A lot of people have picked her up on the... It says, hang on a minute, I thought she said it's only been worn once. All her friends have worn it. What's going on?
But only 2 hours each.
Well, we don't know if it was all the same night.
So it adds up. Lloyd, when we went... You know when we went to Chicago? I went to a vintage clothes shop and the woman at the till, I went to buy this beautiful... This dress with like loads of like beads all over it. And she went... I don't know why she told me this. She went, I wore that dress last night to a club.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, okay. Because I think I'd started a conversation about how I loved old vintage clothes and how they had a story and isn't it fascinating? Imagine who wore this and stuff, you know, because it was a 60s dress. And she was like, I wore it last night to a club.
It's a third-hand dress.
The woman in the shop?
Yeah, the woman behind the till did.
Why was she wearing her merchandise like that?
Well, she just takes the clothes and wears them out and then puts them
back. Yeah, but she obviously hasn't got time to clean it if she wore it last night to a club.
Yeah, I know. But it was, yeah. But I was, this is so British, I was in the front of the queue. And so I was like, I couldn't then take it back. I was like, well, I better go through with it. It's weird.
There was a story, I don't know if it's true or not, about a guy that was living in, you know, one of those giant clothes donation bins.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm feeling this is a sad story, but it sounds funny so far.
He was living in one of those giant clothes donation bins in Neath.
Right.
And the police were trying to catch him, but they couldn't get him because every time they put out a description, he was wearing different clothes.
That sounds like a made-up story.
My auntie's partner, they had an argument and she threw him out of the house and he couldn't find a suitcase, so he just put on all of his clothes. and turned up at his mate's house looking like the Michelin man with just like six pairs of trousers on, 20 jumpers.
God, that's insane.
Oh. Right, underneath the comments, it's all the predictable stuff, calling her trashy and saying how disgusted it is.
Yeah.
But Eddie the Nudge, I like his comment.
Oh, this sounds like it'll be a reasonable comment.
Eddie the Nudge, no, it is. But it is pretty reasonable. It just says, sometimes less is more. Why go on about all that old cobblers? Just say dress for sale and how much?
Why is Eddie the Nudge in the market for a red crochet dress?
Just say dress for sale and how much, says Eddie the Nudge.
What, Eddie the Nudge? Where does he live? In the 60s? London 60s?
That's his online moniker. Eddie the Nudge says, just say dress for sale and how much? Twins.
I'd be less likely to buy an item if the owner specifically stated what sexual acts they got up to in it.
Also, you'd be less likely to buy it if the owner went, I have never been laid in this. It doesn't work. Do you know what I mean? This dress
doesn't work.
Purely.
Is that what a dress is for, if it works or not?
Well, what? Well, yeah, of course, all clothing.
I'll tell you about, I bought this last week. I think it's broken. I think it's faulty. Oh, what's wrong with it? Is it the buttons? Is it the lights?
Nobody finds me
attractive. The seams haven't come loose. Have they? No, I just haven't been fucked in it yet, and I've had it a week. I've tried everything.
If you marketed a dress saying, nobody has found me attractive in this dress, nobody would buy it. So it's a thin line.
It's not a thin line. I think there's clear blue water in how to market a dress, and it's in between going, nobody finds me attractive in this dress, and I got fucked in this and so did all my friends. I think there's a lot of space in the middle for you to market your dress. I don't think that the corridor of marketing is so narrow that you just very easily just slide off and fall into one camp or the other.
Okay.
I don't think it's a narrow beam that you're walking along there as a marketeer. Mind you, I was in marketing for many years, so maybe I'm just better than you at it.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
And tell us why you got fired, Rod, for that really ill-advised campaign for Topshop.
My underpants slogan.
You'll get your dick sucked in these winkle pickers or your money back.
Second story. Mum gobsmacked at four-month-old baby's first words.
Okay.
Babies, it says, are always making gurgling noises. It's a confident opening statement to this story. Babies are always making gurgling noises as a way to communicate. Do you know what your first words were, Lloyd?
I don't, actually.
Text them now, Lloyd. Text them now. What were your first words?
Mine was dada.
Shan's was what?
Dada.
Dada.
It's a really popular one because of the da.
Dada, as in like the artist?
Yes. Oh, yes. I couldn't say Picasso.
Is it
for
surrealist,
ages?
Absurdist... Yeah. Art movement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that.
Dadaism.
Dadaism.
God, that was quite sophisticated.
But my others were goo, which was milk, and lala, which is moon.
Lala isn't moon. We all know what lala is.
What?
Like fufu.
Is it?
Yeah.
No, it's one of the Teletubbies.
Yeah, yeah. Later it became one of the Teletubbies.
In my head,
back
was
in
moon.
My generation, if you said lala, that was your fufu. That was your ding dong.
Ding dong?
What?
Make your mind up.
This is like listening to Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion.
Hey, your foo-foo and your la-la and your ding-dong.
What?
Your paff-paff.
What? You're just making that's up what, words.
I'm not. Your la-la is your paff-paff or your frou-frou.
What are you... Oh, frou-frou now.
Yeah. That's the...
Oh, dear.
It's all changed now, of course. La-la is...
Vagina.
Well, there's a film, La La Land. I thought that was a porno first time I saw that. I was disappointed in 4 hours.
No, they just sing.
What was your first words then, Lloyd? You texted your mum?
Yeah, I just texted her.
Don't bother texting your dad, he won't remember.
Lloyd, have you said anything else, or is it just...
My dad doesn't own a mobile phone, Rod.
No, mine doesn't either. He never will.
That's true, neither of your parents own mobile phone.
He refuses to get on board.
God, even my dad had one at 88.
Yeah, my grandfather had one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Time to get with the programme. Babies are always making gurgling noises as a way to communicate, but they often don't say their first words until they're around a year old, which explains why a mum was so stunned when her baby started speaking at just 4 months old. Instead of being a simple word like mum, dad or cat, he had Charlotte in hysterics. This is a four-month-old baby. Charlotte was sat filming her adorable four-month-old son, Reuben, as he was laying in his bed next to her.
Yeah.
Lloyd, any word?
No.
What, that was your first word? No, and I mean no.
Boundaries.
Second words, no. And I, when I say no, I mean no. Now get that tit out of my mouth. Jeff.
Jeff.
Okay, so Charlotte and Reuben. Charlotte's the mum, Reuben's the baby. Charlotte was sat filming her adorable four-month-old son, Reuben, as he was laying in his bed next to her. Then she tried to tell him he had something on his face. Despite being unable to talk yet, the seemingly unimpressed tot appeared to whisper, "Fuck off," as she pointed out that he had a dirty nose.
What?
Charlotte managed to capture the hilarious moment on camera, which she later shared with her friends and family. After rewatching the clip over and over again, Charlotte is adamant that Reuben dropped the F-bomb.
It doesn't reflect well on her.
Where's he heard that from?
I don't know.
My mum's text.
What was yours?
It was Mam Mam.
Mam Mam.
She said, "You were really an exceptional early talker. You could speak in sentences whilst other kids were just saying a word or two."
That does not surprise me. That is a proud mum.
That is
mum,
a
mate.
Very proud mum.
More recently, Mastermind champion, of course.
I have seen this video of which you speak, of this woman in Brighton and her kids.
Have you?
And I take several issues with how that story there has been reported.
Go on then.
I'll list them if you want.
Go on then.
Number one, the child is in Norway adorable.
All children.
A bog standard, fat-faced little baby.
Lloyd Langford, all babies are adorable.
Let's have a look.
Look, there he is. He is adorable.
Lloyd.
I mean...
He's cute.
He looks absolutely fine, but... Like there's nothing exceptionally pretty about that particular baby.
You just don't like babies, I'll admit it. You're a curmudgeonly old so-and-so doesn't like babies.
I like babies, and obviously she likes that baby because she made it. But adorable is, I would say, too strong a descriptor of a baby. I would say bog standard baby.
Yeah, they're not going to say that in a newspaper report.
No.
She doesn't notice that he's got something on his nose. She goes, "Ugh, you got a bugger."
Well, no wonder he told her to fuck off.
Exactly. And he... So she goes, "You got a bugger," like, just out of the... Like, she did out of the blue. She doesn't sugarcoat it or anything. She delivers it straight at him.
Yeah.
And then he sort of looks at her and goes, "Fuck off."
Does he actually say that?
Like a Cray twin. Like a gangster. And I mean, he doesn't say fuck off. He sort of breathes in a way that could be construed as him saying fuck off. But him saying fuck off in the circumstances is wholly justified.
After being accused of having a booger on his nose.
Yeah, and he's lying in his crib. He's minding his own business. She comes in with him. Sort of startles him and goes, "Oh, you got a bugger up your nose," and he goes, "Fuck off."
Yeah, I tell you, we were right about you when you say no, and when I say no, I mean no, though. But it sounds a bit from your mum's text. It sounds like you were a very accomplished early talker. Your whole sentences.
Wait a second. My mum also says my brother Reese's first words were, "What have you got to eat?" No, that was a fat kid.
I love him. My dad taught me how to say, when I was really little, my dad wanted to impress guests, so he taught me how to say NATO.
NATO?
Yeah.
Oh, North Atlantic Treaty Organization.
And I learned it off by heart. So my dad would be like, "Shan, tell Uncle Mike what you've been up to this week." And I'd be like, "North Atlantic Treaty Organization."
He still talks about that, your dad.
And the situation in the East Bengal.
Yeah, he still talks about that.
He still talks about it.
Yeah, no.
But it was like a party trick that I used to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing that my mum has just reminded me of is when my brother Reese was in school, when he was like six, he had a teacher. I'll give the name. You might have to bleep it out. She's called Miss... She was a real pain in the ass. And she said to my brother, she said to the whole class, "You've got to go home and you've got to give me the surface area of your house."
What?
It's like homework. You've got to measure the surface area of your house.
Yeah.
So my brother was like 6 and he told my mum when he got home, oh, this is homework. And my mum was like, I don't think so. And he goes, no, it's just, you got to measure the surface area. So they measured the surface area of the living room. And then my brother said, oh, now we're going to do the upstairs. And my mum said, no, we'll just do the surface area of the living room. That's been hard enough. And you can just give her the surface area of the living room. And then my brother goes, well, Miss M*** says we're going to do all the rooms. And my mum said, well, bugger Miss M***. And then...
Oh, no.
I can see where this is going.
No.
And she said, oh, who's done the homework? And he said, oh, we've only done the living room.
Oh, no.
And she said, why did you only do the living room? I asked you to do all the rooms. And my brother said, well, my mother says bugger Miss M***.
Oh, lovely. Did she
and then my
word?
Mum had to go in for a meeting with Mrs.
Really? Did
How
she
old
get...
was your brother at this point?
6 years old.
Six.
Did she get a telling off, Lloyd? Did your mum get a telling off?
Yeah, I think she got a talking down, but I think it's very difficult to take.
Yeah.
That's quite advanced for a 6-year old to go and measure the surface, find out the square footage of your house.
I know.
I don't know how to do
that's what my mum
was like drawing pictures of our pets and stuff at that age.
I wouldn't know how to do that now, how to get the surface area
you
of your
do you
house.
Have to have a meter thing, like one of those wheels that's a meter.
Yeah, or one of those laser pens. Did he have one of those laser pens, like a carpet fitter?
Every meter it clicks, doesn't it? So you count the clicks. We used to use those all the time.
How was he supposed to do that?
She's quite nosy.
6 years old?
She's really nosy, Lloyd, to want to know how big your house is.
Fucking Miss What's what?
I think she was maybe trying to undermine the local real estate market.
She wasn't a carpet fitter as well, was she, on the side? According to the NHS, children will often attempt to say simple words at 12 months old before beginning to put simple sentences together at around 2 years old. So, we've got some comments here. Somebody's very nice, gone potty mouth. It's quite a nice little headline. There should be a headline writer, potty mouth.
Yeah.
Aussie Reader says, ha 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 ha. Grandad 2015 says, my grandson often hums Beethoven. He's 3 months old.
Shut up.
Then we got the world's greatest killjoy, I reckon, called Norm. Norm comes in, says, if my baby said fuck off, I wouldn't be smiling about it. I wouldn't be smiling about it.
Well, what would he do about
Wash his mouth out with bloody soap and water then.
Really?
Yeah. Crude, filthy little swine.
The child doesn't say fuck off, but he sort of makes a noise that you could interpret as fuck
well,
off.
Well, Norm wouldn't be smiling about that either. It's the thin end of the wedge. You start letting a child say something that sounds a bit like fuck off. What's he going to say next? Pass me my rusks, you c***. He's 4 months old, bloody language on him.
If you had a 4 month old child that could tell people to fuck off, I'd be taking it around the theatres.
Oh, God, you'd take it everywhere if you had a kid who could say fuck off. They'd be awesome.
Imagine if you gave it, you know, you gave it to a politician to kiss, like Boris Johnson or something, and he looked up at him and went, oh, you wank thing. It'd be brilliant.
Prick.
Oh, it would be brilliant if you had a baby that could do that. Now then, your third frothy story. Marks and Spencer's accused of ruining Christmas. Do you know how they've done that?
How?
With a suggestive festive donut.
What?
Oh.
Wait, what were you going to say, Lloyd?
Oh, I was going to say they've finally allied with the Dark Lord Satan.
Well, it's pretty similar.
Marks and Spencer's accused of ruining Christmas with a suggestive festive donut.
What do you mean?
The national chain, I'll tell you now, the national chain has left many people shocked by the name of its new festive donut.
Oh, God.
With many people urged...
I've seen this.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, it's a little fat, four-month-old kid telling you to fuck off.
that's the John Lewis advert. The national chain has left many people shocked by the name of its new festive donut, with many people urging Marks and Spencer's to change it immediately. During this cold... Here comes the story. During these cold winter months, there's nothing better than enjoying a sweet treat with a hot cup of tea. Many of us love a classic jam donut. I mean, nothing. I mean, I must admit, when I think of winter, I do think of a classic jam donut. I mean, I think of robins on the windowsill, snowmen in the back garden, don't we? Children sledding down the hill, a sleigh bells, Santa appearing at the under the rooftops, going down chimneys, and a classic jam donut. I mean, that is Christmas to me.
A bit of jam squirting onto your chin. They are nice, though, aren't they?
The donut represents the world.
Yeah, the world.
And the jam inside is the blood that Jesus gave to save us from our sins.
I didn't realise the religious symbolism of the donut.
There's religion in everything if you look for it.
Chocolate eclairs?
Yeah.
Where?
Yeah, everywhere, all around.
Where is it in the chocolate eclairs?
The cream inside.
Oh, is it the Holy Trinity? The chocolate, the cream and the choux pastry.
And the
is
that eclair.
Is that the Holy Ghost, the Spirit and God? Who are the three of them again? The wise men? No.
In one delicious packet.
Is that the three wise men?
And then
that's Neapolitan.
You ascend.
Neapolitan, chocolate, vanilla and strawberry. That's the three wise men, isn't it?
Are you talking about the ice cream?
Yeah.
That box of ice cream with three lines in it?
Yeah.
And the chocolate always goes down first.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's three wise men.
Yeah, that's very spiritual.
Yeah.
What was the names of the three wise men?
Chocolate, vanilla and strawberry.
I think one of them was called Balthazar.
Huey, Louie and Dewey.
I don't know, Lloyd. What were the names of the three wise men?
I think one of them was called Balthazar and one of them was called Melchior, but I don't know the name of the third one.
John?
Yeah. Gaspar.
Gaspar?
Melchior, Gaspar and Balthazar.
Oh, there you go. Do you know what? I did not know that before. No wonder they just called them the three wise men, because it's a bit of a mouthful, isn't it, all that lot?
Rock the Gaspar.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so during the cold winter months, there's nothing better than enjoying a sweet treat with a hot cup of tea. Many of us love a classic jam donut at Christmas, packed full of sugary goodness and guaranteed to improve your day. But one is never enough of a classic jam donut.
I think they're thinking about like Pringles or something.
Definitely not donuts.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely enough one jam donut. Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to level with you. I think this journalist is padding here. Is padding stuff out. I mean, listen to this. Listen to this journalistic padding. This is like, oh God, I've got to do how many words, editor? 800 words.
One isn't enough.
800 words on this donut story. One is never... Okay, I'll write something.
On the festive traditions of the jam donut.
Yeah, 800, I want 10,000 words on my desk, 8 o'clock tomorrow morning on the classic jam donut and Christmas.
Do you remember that donut we had in that cafe and there was too much jam in it? It was really
funny. Oh my God, we'll put it on the froth social media. The fucking donut Sian and I bought in Cardigan in a cafe that shall remain nameless. I took 12 photos of it.
It was amazing. Honestly.
Nothing to do with Christmas. I took 12 days.
We were in this cafe, we were eating it, and there was just jam everywhere.
Everywhere. Everywhere. I've never, honestly, there was, there was eight times too much jam in that donut.
It was like a murder scene.
It was everywhere.
And this woman.
Like that bit in The Shining where all the blood comes down the stairs.
It was exactly like that, with the blood flowing down the stairs like a river. It was like that jam everywhere.
And there's this woman passed our table and did a double take. And Rod just thought, oh, here we go. What do you mean? I'm in the public eye.
This actually happened. That we cut into the donut and the jam was everywhere all over the place. A woman walks past taking her cup of coffee to her table, does a double take, looks at me. We thought, oh, here we go. She's gonna ask for an autograph or a photo or say hello or something. Go on, take up the story, Sian.
But she just goes, she glances at Rod and goes, ooh, there's a lot of jam in that donut. I tweeted it. It got retweeted about 1,000 times.
Really?
Because people are like, bloody hell. Also, people guessing what the shop was, because they'd had that experience as well.
People going, oh yeah, I've had a donut there before.
I know where you are.
Far too. I mean, in terms of the cost effectiveness of their donuts and stuff.
Honestly, their overheads must be through the roof.
Unbelievable. There's a jar of jam, a large jar of jam in every donut.
They have like a little nozzle that they push into the donut to pump it full of jam.
Like a syringe.
And clearly, like a syringe or something. And the jam penetrator guy, he's clearly not paying attention. And he's double penetrated the donut.
More than double up.
Either he's trigger happy or they're doing it. I'm not joking. I reckon they're doing it. There's a bicycle pump full of jam in every donut. We'll put the pictures up. It's unbelievable.
It's
honestly
unbelievable.
You'll have it as your screensaver.
It's more jam than donut.
More jam than donut.
It's like they take the jar of jam and then put the dough around it.
Many of us love a classic jam donut, packed full of sugary goodness and guaranteed to improve your day. One is never enough. You're always left licking sugar off your fingers and wanting more. Never wanted more than one donut. Ever. If you're a fan of the classic donut, you might want to sit down before you see what Marks and Spencer's have produced. He's really padding, isn't he? He's really padding now.
Yeah.
The national chain,
he's getting paid by the word.
The national chain introduced the new product on Twitter, where it left people divided. That's unusual for Twitter. It's usually a pretty solid united front, isn't it, normally? If you're still tempted, the Yum Yum Donut Hybrid is now on sale for £1.50 for one or three for £4. The description on the website says, say hello to a special Christmassy version of our iconic Yum Yum Donut Hybrid from our bakery, with flaky pastry layers and a sweet Santa's belt topping. Yum. There we go. That's that story. Sorry, that fizzled out.
It's just a page about the costs.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Coin removed from man's nose after being stuck for more than 50 years.
Okay.
The man, it says, had a coin removed from his nose 53 years, in fact, after sticking it in his nose as a child.
What coin was it?
Oh, I thought this was going to be the world's longest magic trick.
What coin was it?
Yeah, you think he gathered everybody around, stuck it up his nose, goes, watch this. 53 years later.
My granddad always used to pull them out my ears.
Oh, did he, Baz? Well,
yeah, he didn't really, did he?
Did he not?
Oh, don't ruin it.
No, he'd have had them in his hand. Oh,
did
you know,
he, Barry? Right. Did
well,
he?
I can't check now because he's dead.
Did you have a granddad who did that?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I think we can sort it out, Barry. Take your headphones off.
Yeah.
Right. Now tip your head one way and bang the other side.
It's like a piggy bank, you know?
No, that's the wrong side. Barry leans to the left and bangs his left ear. They're not going to come up into the air out the other one, mate. You've got to let gravity help you out. Bang the other ear and let them drop on the...
He was magic.
Yeah, well, there's clearly no coins in your head, otherwise they would have come out then. So he must have been doing some kind of magic. Yeah.
Mind you, he also told me there was a lion in the cupboard. That was bullshit.
He also sold you a seagull for 50 pence, if I remember rightly. Yeah.
Was it the same 50 pence, Barry, he'd got from out of your ear? Yeah.
And told me that he had a pet chameleon that died of a heart attack because he put it on a tartan rug. He did. Totally believed him. He was really sad about the chameleon.
Oh, no.
That might be true, that, though. That could be possible.
He went on a tartan rug.
Got really confused and just died.
Would they go tartan, a chameleon?
I don't think so.
I don't think you'd go, what, Scottish?
Well, any tartan. Doesn't have to be Scottish.
No, you mean?
What, you think? Hang on. Look at I'm really sorry, lads. My comedian's got the wrong tartan. He's got the wrong
clan. The wrong clan.
He's got the wrong clan. Oh, it's so embarrassing.
Oh, God. This is navy and green.
I saw a clip online of a chameleon climbing different coloured pens.
What? What do you mean? And, did you?
All the pens were like stuck together and he was climbing up them like a stick. And every time he put his hand on a different colour pen, his body started to change colour to match the pen. I reckon he could do tartan.
That sounds pretty cool.
I like the fact, you, like the fact cool. you used your time constructively during lockdown.
It was either that or hardcore pornography.
Wow, that does sound pretty cool.
That's amazing.
Do you reckon they could do a tartan then? Barry, can you Google whether a comedian could do tartan?
Sure will. I think maybe they can. Most chameleons change from brown to green and back, but some can turn almost any colour, and a change can occur in as little as 20 seconds.
Wow.
Any colour, but can they do tartan?
What do they? They've got like a turquoise, red and orange and green one that I'm looking at now, so I reckon.
Amazing.
Rod, I'll be frank with you. I don't think they would naturally encounter tartan in the wild.
No, but but if you're adaptable to your anywhere, I don't think they've got pens in the wild, have they? Unless they've got stationers.
If someone's left a lovely picnic blanket out.
Yeah, what if somebody left a picnic blanket out in the wild?
A lovely picnic blanket out in the Amazon.
Okay, here comes the story. A man has finally had a coin removed from his nose after it was stuck for more than half a century. The 59-year-old unnamed Russian man was just six when he wedged the money into his right nostril. He was too scared to tell his strict mother about it and then later forgot.
How can you forget that you've got a coin up your nose?
I don't know.
Hang on, what coin was it?
I don't know, I haven't come on to that yet. I'll read on.
It would have been a ruble.
Or a kopeck. Kopecks are quite small. Kopeck.
Are they?
Yeah.
Like a sixpence.
They're like Rosie. They are. Why? Every time you talk about Russian coinage, Rosie gets upset. They are. Kopecks are really small. They're like the old halfpenny. No, not the halfpenny. The halfpenny. Decimal halfpenny. God. Rosie thought I was talking about pre-decimal, you know, the old sixpences. The man apparently managed to live for the next 50 years, unimpeded by the blockage. Until recently, he started complaining he couldn't breathe very well in his right nostril.
Oh, my God.
He went to hospital and was given a scan. It showed a coin in his nasal passage. Rhinoliths, stones in the nasal cavity, had formed around the coin, constricting his ability to breathe. Medics carried out endoscopic surgery under general anaesthetic, removing the stones and retrieving the Soviet one kopeck coin. That's like an old halfpenny.
So it's a tiny, tiny coin.
Yeah, even smaller than that, actually. I remember the kopeck. My dad used to go to Russia all the time, and he'd bring back
So what do
money.
They look like? Little bat-
like a very small coin, if I remember rightly. It's really small. Smaller than a one pence piece.
It looks like a normal coin, Sean, that you're far away from.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Imagine a one pence piece. Now stand back a couple of yards.
Far, far away.
Now look at it again. There it is. The one kopeck coin from his nose after 53 years. The money, officially worth around one pence at the time, ceased to be used in Russia after the USSR's collapse in 1991. Specialist otorhinolaryngologist.
Right, that's throats and nose. Oh, yeah.
Otorhinolaryngologist Elena Nepriakina said, "We operated on Friday and he was discharged on Monday. He's regained full nasal breathing. The coin was worth around a penny at the time he got stuck. The coin had been wedged in the man's nose for 53 years. Doctors removed it and the man was able to breathe normally again." The man's not the first person to become reacquainted with a foreign object lost up the nose many decades earlier. In 2015, Steve Easton, then 51, from Surrey, had a sneezing fit during which the tip of a toy dart shot out of his nose.
Classic Steve Easton.
Like a what Bond
is it
villain.
With men in their 50s discovering things up their noses?
He scored double 15 and then put it... He put it up there age 7 and his parents had taken him to hospital at the time, but doctors weren't able to remove it. Mr. Easton had often suffered headaches and sniffles, which he put down to hay fever. He said he was completely unaware there'd been a dart in his nose for 44 years.
The tip of a dart, though.
You know, my dad was blind, pretty much, and walked in his local pub and walked straight past the dartboard, and somebody threw a dart and it stuck in the side of his head, and my dad just walked straight past. With
really?
The dart, with the dart in his head.
No.
Yeah.
Hang on. So he was deaf and had no feeling in one side of his face.
No, he was in shock. He threw it. He went straight into the side of his head in his temple.
Really?
And he was in so much shock, he just walked. He just carried on walking and went to the bar. Yeah. We need to get a doctor on the. Is there a doctor in the house? Lloyd, have you got any medical qualifications?
No, I faint to the sight of blood, so I'm probably not.
Do you?
Yeah,
best
does.
Place
oh,
for,
God.
For
how were you when we showed you that yeah. picture of the donut earlier? You're right.
I almost fainted.
I normally have a chocolate donut to be safe.
I almost fainted during the blood test recently, Lloyd.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did
yeah.
you?
And I said, well, I said to the guy, I had this really bad tooth infection, and then I had to go and I ended up in casualty, and I got a blood test, and then I felt really queasy, and I said to the guy, I saw I almost went there, and he went, no, you did go.
No.
Your eyes rolled back a bit, and I was like, oh, really? That's so embarrassing. He went, yeah, let's just say it's because I had a bad tooth. Let's just say it's because you hadn't eaten, yeah?
Oh, were you lying on the floor, flat on your back, went, I almost went there.
Oh, what's wrong with that? Exactly.
I've accompanied someone else to a hospital before and been ended up in a bed.
Lloyd.
Lloyd, you can't leave that story hanging.
I'm an absolute pussy.
What happened?
I went to hospital with an ex-girlfriend because she was ill, and then there was someone else on the ward that was clearly like had mental health problems, and they had a IV line into a vein or whatever it was, and they ripped it out of their arm and started like walking towards me, like spraying blood everywhere.
Oh my god!
What happened?
Oh my god!
Like a malevolent fucking garden sprinkler, and yeah, and I fainted. The doctor or the nurse had put me into a bed.
The nurse had to put you into a bed.
Not next to the other person. Not next to your assailant. We need a doctor. Let's get a doctor. Barry, do you know any doctors we know?
I know. Do you know Gary Coleman, who's a comedian? He's also a GP.
I don't know Gary Coleman. I thought right. he was the guy. I thought Gary Coleman was either a sports commentator or the guy in Different Strokes.
Yeah, well, he's not the guy from Different Strokes.
Is that Definitely. Gary Coleman? Is that his name?
Yeah, that was Gary Coleman as well.
Oh, so who's the sports commentator then? Is that Gary Coleman?
David Coleman.
Oh, David Coleman. It's not him.
Neither of those.
All right, okay. Let's try your Gary Coleman then.
All right, let's see if he's about.
Thanks for joining us, Gary.
No worries, my pleasure.
Nice to meet you. I don't think we've worked together before.
I don't think so. No. I think I'd have remembered.
I think I'd have remembered. Barry says that you are a doctor slash comedian, a comedian slash doctor, an ex-comedian, an ex-doctor?
Well, I'm both. I'm a comedian and a doctor. There's not a lot of comedy for me at the moment, so I'm probably doing more of the doctoring at the minute.
There's definitely more work for doctors than comedians at the moment.
I don't even spot the news, but yeah, it's a bit busy.
Where are you working?
Well, as a doctor, I do 1 day a week. I've always done 1 day a week doing end-of-life care for homeless people.
Oh, in, gosh.
Do you want to bring the gig down or anything?
Oh, no, well, I bet it's incredibly rewarding.
Yeah,
it is. I mean, it's a brilliant job. It's quite a good laugh. It's quite a lot of fun. It sounds like a really miserable job, but it's not. I mean, the team I work with are brilliant, but the clients, I mean, you know, their lives are valid and still full of fun and things. It's an enjoyable job.
I mean, yeah, I can imagine that is a tough. It goes without saying that
it's a tough gig,
and very tough and very challenging. But I imagine hugely rewarding.
And also, just it does put, you know, sort of the comedy world in perspective, I suppose, because it can be quite tricky at times. You know, that the sort of the media world and the comedy world, and then.
Yeah,
and then you know, on a Tuesday in Camden with homeless people, you think, well, what was I worried about?
You know? Have you done in the 1 day? How do you switch? how do you do that? How do you switch?
Are you asking me, Rod? Can I tell the difference?
I guess I'm going.
One, I just get a load of alcoholic drug addicts staring at me, and at the other, it's two different worlds. I mean, where I work, they don't know I do comedy. But then often at the gigs, they're not entirely certain. But it's two definitely different worlds, which I love. I love the fact that there's one world which is really, really serious, you know?
Yeah.
And kind of, it seems important at the time.
Yeah.
And then the other one, you know, comedy, it is important, but it's kind of, there's a certain, well, froth, there's a frivolousness to it, isn't it? Which is lovely.
Yeah.
It's just a transient nonsense to it, which is lovely.
That's a great mix.
Yes. People often say, oh, it's really important making people laugh. It's a really important job. But it's hard to put it alongside end-of-life care, I think.
I was a doctor in the army originally, and I left the army to do comedy.
You were an army medic.
I was an army medic, yeah.
Right, and, in that case.
And a pacifist.
And a pacifist, yes.
Really?
What a strange man you are, Gary.
An enigma.
Yeah, that's the word, an enigma. A pacifist army medic now doing end-of-life care with the homeless and then going on to do comedy gigs. If you were a medic in the army, you must have come across people shoving things inside themselves quite a lot.
Sticking things in their bodies. As a doctor, you do. I mean, it's not that. I used to work in A&E, so it's not
Did
that
you?
Uncommon for people to present with bizarre things. I remember seeing a kid who had had the rubber from a pencil stuck up his nose.
Yeah.
He stuck a pencil up his nose, pulled a pencil out, and the rubber had stayed behind. And that had been there. That had been there for like weeks or months or something. He complained of headache, and we saw him.
So you found a rubber up somebody's nose.
My brother actually, when he was little, put up a piece of glass up his nose that he found on the beach. It was smooth.
Oh, like a pebble thing, but glass.
At least he had the good sense to put a smooth bit up there, Lloyd, not a jaggedy bit. At least it was on the beach. It's smoothed by the waves. That's quite sensible, really.
Well, he didn't have much good sense because they took him to the doctor and then they got it out of the nose. And the doctor left it on the table, and the doctor turned to my mum and said, "I don't know how he got that up his nose." And my brother went, "Like, yeah, put it back up."
Oh my god, brilliant!
Wow, listen, Gary, it's been lovely talking to you. Nice to meet you.
Absolutely, lovely good luck, you guys.
Good luck with your various jobs and the important work you're doing with the homeless. Well done on that. Well done on that, and I hope that one day all our comedy careers resurrect themselves as well. Thanks very much, mate.
Cheers, guys. Okay.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, mate.
Right, those are your three frothy stories. Which one is the frothiest? Your time to choose. Do you want baby, coin nose, or dress?
Baby.
Baby?
Yeah.
Baby it is. Froth of the week goes to the baby telling his mum to fuck right off. Right, that's all we've got time for.
Thanks for listening.
And thanks to special guest Lloyd Langford and to comedian Gary_Coleman.
You can contact us at The Froth Podcast, where you'll get extra froth content. And don't forget the exciting new email facility. Our email address is hello@thefrothpodcast.com.
And if you enjoyed this nonsense, don't forget to like and subscribe, rate us at 5 stars, and tell your friends. This podcast was a Llanbobl Vision production, produced by Barry Castagnola at Wrestle Up Productions.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.